Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
Hey everybody, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and just a little details about the upcoming Porch Fest 25, April 11th and 12th in downtown Columbus at Munson & Brothers at 5. It starts at 5. It'll go to midnight on Saturday on the 12th, noon to midnight. I hope you'll make plans to come. It's a great festival. Music discovery, comedy, and street vendors out there selling their wares, artists, and artisans. All right, let's give Fire Camino a call. Here we go. Space Dash.
Hello.
My man, dude, what's up?
Ah, not much. Just chilling. How are you?
Oh, man. You know, your sister threw me for a loop, Josh.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, let me explain myself. Dude, y'all laugh and talk the same.
Oh yeah. No, I mean she's a bro. Like she honest to God is.
Yeah. Dude, and I'll tell you this, so like you know, I tell everybody after they meet my brothers, like y'all look nothing alike. I was like, yeah, of course, I was the milkman's son. But, like, after they get to hanging around, both of us, like, in the same room, like, mannerisms, the way we walk, the way we talk, exactly the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, just on the phone with y'all two earlier, I was like, man, I don't, you know, I got Josh and I got female Josh.
No, I mean, literally, it's like having a brother. Even though she's my sister, it's like having a brother. Like, she's an interesting sort.
Very good, man. That's Family Matters. That is our favorite segment here on the program.
Sister Camino is exactly the same as Fire Camino.
Hey, not bad. If she ever wants to start a band, she knows exactly what to call it.
Oh, she can't sing for shit.
Oh, Josh, neither can we, okay?
Hey, yeah, well, but there's nuance.
Fair enough, yeah, and I need all the nuance I can get.
No, it's like, it's funny because my dad's like a notoriously bad singer. My dad's like a hellacious singer. And so, like, when I first started doing shows and stuff, people were like in my family, like, are you serious? Like, you know, like, Ken's kid's going to go out there and sing? It's like, yeah, yeah,
Well, Josh, that's got to be 90% better than my family reaction.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, and I say this about everything, you know, it's in the gospel. Jesus said it's hard to be a prophet in your own town. I say it's hard to be doing anything in your own town. And for those of you who have loved ones and family members that support your artistic endeavors, that's awesome, because I don't know if a family member of mine has ever listened to this show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Have you ever had anyone on from your family?
Now that you mention it. Yeah, distant cousins.
Ah.
I always thought it would be funny to have my brother on, just because, and I wonder if people would be confused about who was talking.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know. But and it's the thing about it, like, I don't know. Like, go back to the beginning of any idea, like, okay, we're going to, me and my brother are starting this podcast, right? What are we going to talk about? How long is this podcast? And maybe that's why I never asked. And Trey, if you're out there, buddy, I don't know. I guess we could talk sports.
Yeah.
But I don't really. My thing, if this was a sport podcast, every now and then we will talk sports. But I don't think there is anything under the sun that I could say that the talking heads over on ESPN and all the 90,000 other podcasts haven't said. I don't think you're going to find a unique take here. Now, when it comes to, I don't know, we could figure something out. But, you know, I always wanted to have my dad on, but we can't do that now. But even then, I was thinking, I was like, what would I talk to the old man about for an hour? It would be very easy, but I don't know how interesting it would be for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like my grandmother tells all these old stories about, like, growing up in West Virginia and, like, what it was like and, you know, because they grew up, no electricity, no nothing. They were just, you know, and I love those stories. I would love to, like, record them, but, like, not to put out, not to, like, profit off of her. To, like, just because I know one day she's not going to be here and she's not. You know, I won't hear those stories ever again. And, you know, I'm an alcoholic with a horrible memory. Like, I want to remember those stories and the sweetness of it, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you should. And, like, to that point, I mean, Josh, that's family history. You know, that's a part of, like, why you're here and how you ended up in Alabama and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they started out in West Virginia, no power. And I mean, and that's one thing I like about family history, history in general, really, but specifically family history, especially if you like, you get to talking to distant relatives. It's always interesting hearing like someone's take on like your grandpa or something, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that you knew personally and you kind of had your own relationship with, but then you talk to your crazy uncle and you're like, well, here comes some sideways news I'd never heard before.
Well, also, part of it's growing up, too, because, I mean, like, growing up, like, my granddad was, like, my hero, you know, which I'm sure it is for a lot of young boys, but, like, my granddad was, like, awesome. He could do no wrong. He was, you know, and then you get older and they start telling you, like, the real stories and you go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, but you're older, too, so you understand it. You go, okay, well, that guy was a human, just like I'm a human. He fucked up. There's part, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I think, like, and not to jump ship too quick, I mean, because I think that's what we're going to do is talk a little bit about songwriting today. But, you know, that's Jason Isbell and, like, the song Outfit, and we could probably go down the list of some Matt Cooley's from Drive-By Truckers or Patterson Hoods, but, like, I always thought they did a pretty good job of, like, telling stories of, you know, like, what is that line, how Outfit starts, you want to grow up and be like me, something to that effect, and then kind of tells the tale of like, okay, well, if you want to be like me so bad, here's what it takes. And, here's the ugly parts of it that you're not going to like.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's the thing is like, with any humans, like, that's why I always preach empathy so much because it's like, listen, like we all do some fucked up shit and weird shit and whatever. It's like, you still love the person, regardless of the pain that they've caused the people you love or, like, the pain that they do themselves. Like, if someone's an alcoholic or someone's, like, this is personal, but, I mean, like, in my grandfather's case, where it's like he cheated on my grandmother all the fucking time. I still love that dude to death, but it's kind of a piece of shit, you know?
He had a flaw.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, but that's part of being human. We all have our own shit, but that's, like, that's what love really is, and where if you can have that empathy to go, like, yeah, you did a fucked up thing, but I love you anyway.
Well, yeah, well, and I think that's one thing that people like. If you were to ask somebody to describe love or define love, you would get hundreds of different answers. And I always thought that this was the best way to put it. Is, I mean, you know, we could look up the dictionary version of it. You could see what the Bible says, whatever direction you wanted to go. But ultimately, to me, like when defining love is. And especially if it's romantically, let's say it's your love interest, your partner, they are making that choice daily to love you in spite of you. That's love.
Yeah.
Now all this other, like, you know, we got puppy dog love when the relationship first kicks off and, oh, I'll do anything in the world for you. Oh, da, 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 I'll give you the moon. And
every time they text you, you get giddy. You're like, ooh, they're texting you.
Right. And, but
that's,
yeah.
Not real love, that's fleeting. That's, you know.
Yeah. And if I was, I don't know, to give myself advice 10 years ago, I would have saved myself a lot of trouble. But then, well, I think all the lessons that I learned, well worth it. And I don't make those same mistakes anymore.
Yeah.
Had to do it.
Say this: you learn more than by fucking up than you do by doing the right thing.
Amen to that. But like you said, dude, like, what about those screw ups? And I'm still not happy about this. But take the DUI for instance.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happened in Oktibbeha County. One of the papers in Columbus, wrote it up, put me in the packet in Lowndes County. Now.
Damn.
Nobody else that went to jail that night off of that roadblock was in there but me.
Well, you're a celebrity. That's
well, really, I was talking about it with my supervisor, and he was like, I saw it back in May when it happened. I didn't say anything to you. We've always been under the understanding of if something needs to be said, it will be, but, you know, anything like personal like that happened, you did it on your personal time, you'll take care of it on your personal time. And I was like, amen. And but with that, dude, I did feel some kind of like personal vendetta toward that. Like, you know, like what I did in Oktibbeha County had nothing to do with what I do in Lowndes County, and I don't really appreciate you. Now, it's public information, sure. You can pull me up on the website, sure. But at the same time, what about my privacy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's fucked up to, you know. I mean, you gotta have, like, as a journalist, like, you have to have a certain level of integrity to be like, all right, well, this guy did a thing, but, like, why are you printing this, really? Like, what's the real motivation behind you printing this? Because it's not like journalism. It's not like, now, if you'd went out and done something, like, really fucking crazy, you know, then, like, yeah, you might want to report, hey, the guy that hosts the local open mic went out and fucking burned down a chicken house. So it's like, all right, well,
let's not dig too deep into my playbook. That's coming.
Listen, whatever beef you have with Tyson Meats is like, you got to keep that on the low. You can't...
Yeah, and by the way, we don't call it beef anymore. We're just calling it, I'm breasting with them because that chicken ain't got no beef. I got breast issues with them. But, yeah, dude, like, really. And I even think about that, you know, whether it be newspapers, and I think about this with the news is, man, we... so quick to highlight a story of negativity, but then I was like, when I'm on the streets and I'm riding around, I see good things happening every day. It doesn't get reported. You would think if you would highlight things like that, good behavior, maybe more people would begin to behave that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, because people are influenced. Like, that's the thing of where, like, this is going to sound fucked up, but I need you to just bear with me. Manipulation's not always a bad thing, you know? You can manipulate people into, like, doing good stuff. You know, like, if you go, everybody else is being good, look at this. little six-year-olds got a lemonade stand for the people in the Palisades that have lost their homes to the fires. You know, it's like, oh, why not report on that instead of fucking reporting on more bombs and deaths? And it's like, you know, you can shape public opinion. Like, the media is kind of mind controlled, where it's like they decide what we see and what we think about. You know, because if you look at a story, yeah, let's just take Columbus. Where Columbus, they could be like, hey, we got our annual fall festival coming up, da da da. You know, but instead they were like, oh, let's write about Alan Aldridge getting a DUI. It's like, well, why?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, they do highlight those things. They will talk about the fall festival. But, I mean, and I'm guilty of this, too, is when I pick up a local newspaper, is the first place I flip to who got arrested? Absolutely. Okay, I'm a snob for the tabloids. But, like, I just think it would have been a lot cooler if it was published in the county where it happened.
Right, yeah, because at least they're the ones that, like, add the story.
Because that was something new to my knowledge. Because when I was sitting through MAFIS class, you know, the DUI class after you do it, and that was one thing that the cop teaching the class brought up, and he said, you know, the one thing that would ultimately probably correct my path more so than being arrested and court fees and fines and all the rigmarole you have to jump through after you did it. He said the public shaming of your name being printed in the paper has to be the worst. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's shame. That's what that is. It's not guilt at this point. That's public shaming.
Yeah.
And really, the person putting that together, I might look into what you got and see if I see anything.
I mean, that's what gets me, too, where it's like, all right, this may be derogatory to people who drink and drive, and again, I'm not assuming shit, like, I'm talking loosely here, but if somebody is drinking and driving, they're probably already not in a great headspace.
Thank you.
Why kick somebody when they're down? You know what I mean? Like, they already got a DUI. They got to pay court fees out the ass. They got to do all this shit. They got to go to Mesa classes. They got to fucking get a fucking breathalyzer installed in their car. And that costs a shit ton of money. And then it's like, oh, yeah, on top of all of this, let's put them in the fucking paper and kick them while they're down.
Yeah, that's exactly how I took it, to be honest with you. But once again, maybe that serves a better good somehow. Maybe it's a world-class example, right?
No. Because, I mean, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier with empathy, where it's like, all right, this person did a thing that was fucked. Like, you shouldn't drink and drive. Yes or yes?
You're asking me?
Yeah, just, like, shouldn't drink and drive. Pretty, you know.
It's legal in the state of Mississippi to drink and drive as long as you're below the tolerance.
Fair enough. We don't have that here.
I actually agree with that. I agree with it too,
because if you have a beer, you're not hurting anybody.
That's my point, but I don't want to sit here and, like, nitpick, but I am kind of nitpicking with that because I don't think there's anything wrong with that. My ritual, however you want to put it, my habit is when I get off work, I like stopping down at the Texaco and grabbing me a tall boy. And I like to sip on that on my drive home. I don't think that's anybody's business.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I really don't.
Now, I'm not publicly advocating for everybody should be just drinking and driving, but here's my point. Also, people drink, not just drunk, whether it be pills or whatever kind of inhibitor, drug, however you want to put it. And also, I'll tell you something way worse than drinking and driving. That phone.
Yeah.
Don't nobody talk about that. I'll talk about that. I don't like that.
I can tell you more times where I have a weird thing. Like, I will not drink and drive. Like, that's like a hard line thing for me. Like,
that ain't a weird thing, Josh. That's a good thing.
Yeah. But like, even like when I go and play shows, like, I'll have a beer. Cause I'm like, I can have a beer. I'll drive. Or like, you go to dinner, you know, you take a girl out. It's like, I'll have a beer, but I'm having it with vanilla, and then, like, that's it. I'm not, like, you know, when the waiter comes in, it's like, Senor, you want a cerveza? It's like, no, I just, the one, that's it. You know, I have a weird thing about drinking and driving. It's like, kind of like with seatbelts. Like, I'm always like, I gotta wear my seatbelt. But fucking, damn it, I had a point. Fuck. No. Oh, yeah, that was it. So I have a weird thing with drinking and driving. Like, I won't do it. I can't tell you how many times I've ran off the road or almost been in a fucking accident because I'm looking at my fucking phone. Way more than me being... Because there have been times where, like, I've gone and played a show at the Nick and I've had more beers than I should have and then drove home, and it's like, on those nights, I was fine. But me just checking my phone randomly at 11, sober as a judge, and fucking almost kill myself because, like, I'm looking at my damn phone.
Yeah, and, you know, as they incorporate more technology at my job, you know, I spend most of my work hours in the field. I'm driving, going to different addresses, all this and that. And, like, we work off so much technology. I have applications I use on my work iPad, my work phone. And so if I'm stopped at a red light, or I might just even be pulled off to the side of the street with my flashers on. And I mean, I'm looking at that. And, you know, it's crazy then, like, the eyes that people will give you for that. And it's like, man, I'm a civil servant and I'm trying to figure out what's going on at this place. And I was like, I could do this while I'm driving down the road. Wouldn't you like that more? That way we could both be moving, huh? I'm not going to do it.
Right, hey.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, like, for the most part, I've learned this, whatever that bone or, and maybe it's raisin, and I thought I got my ass beat enough when I was young, but whatever that tendency is for, like, good behavior, such as seatbelts or any of these things that we've listed, I don't have that. I mean, I have to constantly work towards it.
See, I have the opposite of where, like, I'm, like, so, like, don't fuck up. Like, and it's funny because I do so much degenerate bullshit. Like, I, you know, but, like, I always have that thing in the back of my mind of where I'm like, well, you can't fuck up. You gotta be responsible. You gotta take care of things. You gotta make sure everyone's okay. I guess that's my thing, is, like, the weight of where I'm, like, fuck me, I don't really care about myself, but, like, who's gonna take care of so-and-so? You know, like, I've always had to take care of people my whole life. So, like, if I fuck up, then it's not that I fuck up, it's that I fuck up and me fucking up is gonna prevent me from taking care of somebody else. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, man, I've been caretaker. I moved back from the coast to be with my dad and my grandmother. And I was with both of them for, you know, from the time I moved back for almost the rest of their life, just to be there with them and help them. I didn't mind doing that. And I had conversations with my dad toward the end, you know, before I moved out. And I expressed what I needed to do for me, you know, and it came down to it. And I was like, you're at a place now to where you can do for you. You know, when I first moved back, you had a stroke and you were struggling with mobility and you couldn't really get around, and you overcome that. And now you can cook and you can take care of yourself. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could, you know, if I moved out and I started, you know, moving on with my life. And nothing wrong with being here with you. I love you and I love my family. But at the same time, if I'm here all the time,
yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm going to wake up and be 40 years old and everything's done passed me by.
I'll give you a great example of this. I don't know if I should put... No, fuck it. This is
just leave it anonymous.
Somebody can learn from this. My Uncle Philip.
Okay, call him by name.
I love him to death. He's like, honest to God, like, he is an angel. Like, he really is. Like, the level of patience and shit, you know. And me and him have had our problems and whatever, but, like, I work with him now. He is. He's a great guy. He's been more of a father to me than my own father has.
Huh.
But, yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But point being is, when my granddad died, the house was left to Philip. And, like, my grandmother and his brother both lived there. And he took up responsibility. And he goes, I'm going to take up responsibility. I'm going to do what's right. You know, I'm going to take care of my brother. I'm going to take care of my mother. You know, and now here he is, almost 60. And, like, he's never had a place of his own. He's never been married. You know, and, like, he took care of my uncle for the longest, and he passed. And now he's taking care of my grandmother. And, like, again, like, my mom and me help out a lot. But, like, truthfully, it's Philip, my mom, and me. Those are the three people that take care of my grandmother. Nobody else. My grandmother had 11 kids. No, granted, Doc's dead. But my grandmother had 11 kids. So there's 10 people. You know, well, 8 people besides, you know, 8 other children that could take care of her. Nobody else will take care of her. You know, and Phyllis basically devoted his whole life to taking care of his mother. And he's got stuck in this box of, you know, like, taking care of his mom. He's never got to have a life of his own because, like, after my granddad died, and even then he was there taking care of my granddad, then he died. And then, like, he was there taking care of my uncle and my grandmother. And, like, his whole life.
He's a caretaker.
Like, taking care.
He's a caretaker. Like,
yeah.
And I honestly believe this about some people. And, man, I'm thank God for that archetype. And, you know, and like, maybe this is something that people need to think about is, like, and I'm not here to say that there's only 12 archetypes or however many types are out there, but, like, obviously, just by this man's life and story, he was put on this earth to take care of people.
Right.
And so, did he, very selfless life, obviously, he never had his own place, he never married, and I hate to keep referencing it, but really, like, There are so many stories, especially, like, when you move on into the New Testament of the Bible, is, like, just, like, how some of these, like, most of those guys didn't marry, like, Paul, or, he didn't marry, he lived a hard life, but he knew what he was put here to do, it's bothersome to me, like, I have been married, I'm divorced. And even now, like, with, and we're doing our best, we're trying to work it out, but, I don't think we're having a good time with the young lady I'm talking to. And, like, it comes up as we're sitting on the couch. I don't like to be touched and I don't like being inspected. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Don't inspect me. It drives me crazy. And even, like, you probably know this, if we're sitting, whether it be an open mic or it's Porch Fest, you can sit down next to me, and I'm probably incredibly awkward to be around.
Oh, yeah, no, I know just firsthand, because, like, me and you are cool. Like, we are. We're, you know. But like whenever it's Porch Fest or whatever, like you're in that mode. But I know that mode because I've been in that mode of where you're like, oh God, I have to make sure everything's right. Are these cables going to be good? Oh fuck, the sound guy. So I get it.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, I mean, I get it. And like, I'm working all these things out. And like, I'm just trying to address and make sense of my life. And, you know, like, with the store I'm trying to buy. And by the way, I hope I can disclose more of that next week. I hope I'll be closing on it. But,
I hope you get it.
You know,
whatever it may be.
And thinking about like some of the other moves that I'm making, and I can't wait to announce some of those moves is, man, and all these things, they're not just a benefit to me and my future and my livelihood and finances or however you want to put it. No, this is going to be a W for all of us because like it's going to give me a better opportunity and it's going to give me a whole lot more financial wiggle room to be able to be like, yeah, we can definitely pull this off.
Right.
Because, I mean, right now, as it stands, man, like, when I'm putting together and planning this out, like, even just take this year's Porch Fest. The following day after Porch Fest was over, I was already planning this one. And let me tell you.
I know. We would talk on the phone, and you were talking about, but next year we're going to do this, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, you already had it planned out. You know.
Yeah, and I feel like I have to do that now. Like I'm so far ahead. Like we're gonna print the flowers on February 10th, and we're gonna start placing them around local Golden Triangle areas. Why is that? We're exactly 2 months out, and then the hard press of getting the word out begins. I don't want people to turn their head without Porch Fest on it. And like we're getting to that point, and like you know, I'm right now in the search for sponsors and looking for people to help me put this on because I want to keep it free. And then you know, everybody, even some of the talent, is like, you know, you could probably pay for all of this if you would just charge admission. And I was like, you don't understand what I'm doing. That's counterintuitive. That's not it. Like this is music discovery. This is comedy discovery. This is artist discovery. Would you pay for that? No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you to take a chance on me, and I put together a lineup, and I'm putting people in front of you that I think you should know about. And by the way, they all probably have their own merchandise. They probably have T-shirts, a hat, a CD. Maybe they don't. Maybe the best thing you could do is favorite their website, and I'm really gonna be on this kick, I think, for the remainder of this year. And I hope we all do, and I hope to get my website back going. Screw following people on social media, really. Somebody was telling me that the other day. It's like, oh, Porch Talk Instagram's almost up to 1,000 followers. I wouldn't care if I had 17. It ain't about that. And if you think that's what it's about, you got it wrong. If I lose somebody, I'll go find somebody else. If, you know, whatever it is, that's not the point of what I'm doing. And like, yeah, the day one when I started Porch Talk, and then holy crap, it turned into a festival and everything that we have going on now and cooking. And I'm working with people I like working with, and I'm promoting people I like to promote.
Yeah.
That's just it. And biting the bullet by being on social media, yeah, but one day I'm going to have a very nice website. And then I won't probably take down the social media, but I won't be present. So if you DM me or write me there, good luck, you know.
You know what I love about you, Alan?
What's that?
Is me and you have the same mentality. Like, with the festival or music or whatever, it's like, listen, I'm gonna do this thing either you like it or you don't, but god damn it, I'm gonna do it, you know. And it's like, I don't really care about like the logistics. Like people are like, well, if you get a TikTok and you do this, then you can get this much followers and da-da-da-da-da. It's like,
that ain't the point.
I want to write folk songs. That's my main goal, is I want to write folk song. And you're like, I want to do Porch Fest. I want to do this show, you know, and like, I fuck everything else. I want to do this. What I'm doing is what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. It drives me crazy. And, you know, like, oh, you see them probably all the time in your DMs, Josh, I'm sure. Somebody will drop in and be like, you have so many followers. If you did this with your social media, you would get so much more clicks and traffic. I don't do that because I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. If you don't like what I do, like, granted, I know what I do ain't for everybody, but it's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. Like, when I go on stage, I'm doing what I do because it comes from the heart. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you can fuck off. Simple as.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's how you've done everything. We're like, this is Porch Talk. We say whatever we want to say. We do whatever we want to do. It is what it is. If you like it, cool. If not, forget it.
And I was having this talk with the guys the other day. You know, like, Big John's been drinking Liquid Death on the show for years now. And I don't remember what episode it was now. It's been probably a month ago. And I think I left it in there. I probably meant to edit it out, and I don't think I did. He's like, sipping Liquid Death should sponsor. And I was like, let me go ahead and shut this down. We've been sponsored by Manscaped and Caldera Labs, and we've had local businesses and all this and that, and I'm thankful for all that. But here on out, I will not be accepting another sponsorship. And something else that drives me crazy is these advertisement and ads on the show. I've been talking to the podcatcher that I use to put my show out.
Yeah.
The only thing feasible that I see that I can do to make it stop, because like it seems to me like once you opt in, there ain't really no opting out.
Yeah.
Is I'm just gonna jack the price up to where, like, if you want to add on this show, $50, you know, and like usually it's anywhere from like 8 to 20, depending on how many downloads you get. And I was like, I'm going to quadruple whatever the going rate is. And it's like, if you want to interrupt what we have going on over here, you got to pay. And it better be good. And I'm not just sitting here saying that, my God, like what me and Fire Camino are doing here is just so important that we cannot be interrupted. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just over it. I'm over talking dollars. I'm tired of the people getting in the DMs and your social media influence could increase, and we could make you tons of money if you do this with your show. Okay, cool. Go do that with your show, asshole.
All right, hey, I got a great example. Have you ever heard about when Lightning Hopkins went up to record a record with Chess Records?
Oh, yeah. Tell the story, though, Josh. Please tell.
So, Lightning Hopkins went up, and he goes, I want to cut a record with y'all. Y'all got a recording studio. I want to record up here in Chicago. And so, you know, Chess Records had everybody. They had Buddy Guy, they had Muddy Waters, they had Howlin' Wolf, they had Etta James. Like, they had, like, some killers, you know?
Sure.
And so Chess is like, we want to cut you a deal. It's a multi-year contract, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Lightning Hopkins, like, that's, fuck that. That's bullshit. I want money in hand. You know, he treated it like, you know, the same way, like, you ever, like, have those contract jobs where I'm like, I'll go do flooring for you, or I'll go paint a room, or, you know what I'm saying?
I'd still do that. I still do that on the weekends if I ain't down at the bar working.
Yeah, but that's how Lightning Hopkins treated it. He treated it like a contract job, where he's like, no, you pay me this amount of money up front, I'll come cut the record, and what y'all do with the record, you know. And the guy was like, no, but you could make percentage of the royalties and da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, no, money in hand is worth more than anything. I think that's how advertisers should...
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Listen, I'll sell your shit all day, but just give me the money up front. Whatever it is, just give me cash in hand. If you give me cash in hand, I'll sing your praises. I'll say, yeah, this is the best fucking face cream or blah, blah, blah. You know, this is the best razor in the whole world. You know, but just give me the money up front. I don't want a percentage. I don't want to do the whole contract thing. You send me a check, I do the thing. And it's the same thing of where it's like every time, like, I've done contracting jobs where it's like, yeah, you pay me to build a deck, and I built the deck. You paid me to paint a room, I painted the room. Fair enough.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you, like, with those X amounts, you know, like with Manscaped or, like, you know, they gave a promo code, and then if you went to the website, people use the promo code. I would get a percentage off of, like, the number of people who use the code, right?
Yeah.
I'm saving you 10 to 20%, 25%, whatever the number was, and then I get a cut off of how many people use the code that month.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, unless people are lying to me, maybe they are, but the numbers that I had of people telling me that they were using their code and screenshot using the code versus what was told to me by the company, I'm over that. We won't be doing that again. I promise you that.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking shit about those companies at all. It's just like, that was one thing that really helped me make my mind up about, like, and the advertisements on this show, even like that, the ads, they drive me crazy. And I'm sitting here trying to listen to my own show to make sure audio quality is good. Is this something I would listen to? All this and that, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's, I close with that store. I'm going to contact them and be like, these ads have got to go. I don't want nothing to do with this anymore. And if you can take all the ads out of previous shows, I don't want to live with it.
All right, you can delete this if you want.
Oh, but gosh,
it's so funny. I have to say.
Well, let's see.
I can't tell you how many times you'd have Cobb or Big John on, and then it would literally be a fucking. I know you don't decide the ads, like the ads, whatever the ad, you know, because you make a deal with whatever. But they would literally be like COVID-19 vaccine ads. And then the very, like, as soon as the show starts, it would be like Cobb or Big John being like, COVID's bullshit. The fucking vaccines are giving you AIDS.
And that is one thing that I do really like about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes we guessed it. Like, there was a couple of times where we had, like, political ads come on the show around, like, election season.
You had a Kamala Harris ad on Porch Talk.
Yeah, and I was like, guys, it would be so funny if I knew where those ads were going to fall, and, like, one of us would be like, so anyway, that Kamala Harris, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like, well, how
are you not listening to the show?
What, yeah. The no, they're not, dude, and it was before that. It was before that. So, like, I knew that we had, like, a lot of listeners in Georgia, and this was, like, I think 2022. It may, back when Stacey Abrams was running for governor against Kent, and like, dude, like, we were having like two or three like Stacey Abrams ads, and I had to write, and I was like, dude, we do this show in Mississippi, Alabama, and like, I understand if there's a demographic in Georgia, but like, we really don't want these political ads on this show, really, we don't. And if you're going to put them, if you're going to do a Stacey Abrams, I would like her running mate right behind it, please.
Yeah.
Like, it, make it fair.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, dude, this whole thing's very funny. And inside baseball, I hope you enjoy this with me. By the way, I am sipping on Elysian Space Dust IPA. That's correct. Yes.
You drink that bullshit beer, man.
Yeah, 8.2% by volume. I hope you can hear it kicking in as the time passes.
See, I'm drinking watermelon Four Locos. Second watermelon Four Loco tonight.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to see my buddy. He just flew back from Egypt today, and let me tell you, I was supposed to pick him up from the airport last night at 9:30. I was supposed to pick him up from the airport at 1:30 in the morning. I was supposed to pick him up at 9:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon, and his plane finally landed. I think he got held up and laid over in Atlanta, but finally, airplane lands at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I still don't know if he's in Starville. I would assume he is, because I told him, I was like, look, I'll be over there when I get there. I got a show, and I already promised to do this, and I don't like breaking my promises, because I'm only as good as my word. How's that?
Hey, but you're very good about your word.
That's all. God, I hope they all see that. Well, Josh, you ready to spend a little time with the songwriting process, huh?
Yes. Yeah, no, I would love to. This is the whole thing we're trying to get to. We're 45 minutes in.
Congratulations, everybody. You reached the meat. Potatoes.
Oh, hey. Hold on. Before you start what you start, speaking of songwriting, I want to do a shout-out real quick, because this has to do with Porch Talk.
Okay.
I heard a song recently. It was Free Bird. And
Scott Levi Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I heard it, and it was a really good song. And I was like, who the fuck wrote this? Scott Levi Jones. I'm like, I've heard that name. Where the fuck? I've listened to him on Porch Talk. And I'm like, that's where I know him. So like, I knew Scott Levi Jones from Porch Talk. And yeah, I heard that song the other day. I was like, holy shit, that's a really good song.
He tells me he's an avid listener, so I hope he hears that.
So, best to you, Scott, because that shit's great. I love that song.
Right when he wrote that and I saw it post up on his Instagram, I wrote him immediately, and I was like, you got a hit. Like, people, and that was one thing, you know, like when I wrote Georgia.
Yeah.
And even the way it starts lyrically, or however you want to look at it, I knew it was going to wrap people up just because they know Georgia on my mind.
Yeah.
You do it on purpose, dummy. And he knew that. Thank you, Scott. You're on the same wavelength as I am.
Have you ever heard Taylor's version of Freebird?
Have not, brother.
So if somebody ever yells Freebird, he'll just like flick them off. But he's like, yeah, here's two of them for free. I love it. Every time it happens, I'm like, yeah, that's great.
All right, so we got, and I'll extend this invitation. I would like a big pool. We used to have, I haven't done a good writer's round online. If you're out there in the wilderness and would like to contact me and Fire Camino and be a part of this, I think the more heads, the better. But I've got challenges. And so whenever Josh and I get back together, whether it be in a week or 2 weeks, a month, and I don't care if we have to record this off of our phones, but I'll just to hold our own feet to the fire, and if we fail, we have to fail, and that is something that we must do. But I want us to, on air, pick a topic, maybe a line of words, and maybe even classified as it has to be a waltz.
Yeah.
Or a strumming pattern, or however. And we have until we get back together again, and then at the end of the show, we'll share what we did. And I think that could be very constructive for everybody.
Oh, that's fun.
All right, what say you?
Yeah, I'm down. Fucking, yeah, hell yeah.
And I don't know, like, I know, like, and brother, I apologize, but you caught me on a good night. I remember talking to you. I just don't remember what was said. Thank you. But I hope that was close to what I was saying.
Yeah. No, ooh, that's fun. Because I have the idea where I'm like, this is this week's challenge or this whatever. Write a song about blank.
Yeah. And also, like, and
write a song using G, D, or C. That's it. That's all you can use.
See, I love challenges like that. Now, I would love to open that up for listeners and for all of us to collaborate. And my God, maybe you don't know my email. I think it's porchtalk115@gmail. If I remember when I'm making the show notes, I'll put that in there. But whether you do it off of your phone or however, whatever kind of record, Josh will record off a tape deck. But I like that too. But however you can get that media to us, like, let's say we're in this conversation, we're 50 minutes in here now, and we figure out, okay, Josh, next time I talk to you, I want to hear a song about so-and-so. I invite every listener, and maybe you're not a songwriter, write a poem about it. Or maybe
it don't matter.
Write a joke about it. We just want you to write. And I think this could be very good for all of us. I think it could bring us all closer together. We're having Christmas in this is January the 22nd. The episode comes out on the 23rd. I would love a little more Christmas from all of you. So what's the gamble this time around, Josh?
The gamble?
What are we going to talk about?
Don't talk about gambling, man. I'm fucked. I lost my ass. All right. No. Literally, Monday night, Notre Dame played Ohio State. And I was like, this is our year. We're going to win the national championship. We got it.
Oh, my God. I forgot you're a fucking Irish.
Dude, I lost so much money.
Anybody with a brain wouldn't have done that, Josh.
No, but I believed. I was like, maybe we can do it. Maybe we can overcome it.
You believed when they smoked Georgia's ass.
Do what?
When they beat Georgia?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, they had a good... They beat Penn State. Like, they looked great.
They beat Penn State. Do you hear yourself?
No, shut up. Penn State's a good team.
Penn State is mid. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, you know what's funny? Is like, they had to play Penn State for the playoff. And, like, I knew the exact time. Like, in 1991, the last time Notre Dame played Penn State was in 1991. It was a snowball. This is what they called it. It started snowing halfway through the game, and it was like a, you know, blizzard. They won it right at the end. But literally been like 26 years. Like, it was like before I was even born was the last time fucking Notre Dame played Penn State. But I had that game ingrained in my fucking mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I leave it at the house. We have in the community of Kennedy that I grew up in, there's this guy that nicknamed T-Bone. I've known T-Bone for most of my life, and I hope to know him for the rest of my life. He is an avid Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, and he is the direct reason why I cannot stand the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Which I am sure for some people is the same reason they don't like my Crimson Tide.
Right.
And so, y'all go ahead.
Just for record, first and foremost, I'm a fucking Alabama fan.
I praise God for that.
But, second best Notre Dame. And in fact, that was tested in 2013 when Brian Kelly took fucking Notre Dame in the fucking the national championship and he was up against Nick Saban. I went for fucking Alabama. I didn't go for the fighting Irish.
You had to go with your heart. That happened to me in 2009, Josh, because, you know, my second favorite team is Texas.
I didn't know that.
And Alabama played Texas, and the whole family was up in turmoil about it. And when I walked out of my bedroom to watch the national championship game with my family, I came out in an Alabama hoodie and a Texas hat. And right at kickoff, I took that hat off my head and I threw it down the hall and I said, "Row Tide."
Hell yeah.
And, you know, it was almost like my signing day. But yeah, dude, I remember that 2013 game, Manti Te'o, one of the first in memory of a defensive player being nominated for the Heisman. He had that fake girlfriend story.
Dude, I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad.
I don't know if he'll ever live that down.
After all that bullshit, god damn.
And Josh, I watched that national championship game in New Orleans. I was surrounded by what I would like to call LSU fans. And those LSU fans went, or maybe they ordered online. It's 2013. The internet was really just popping with ordering. But they all came out with their Notre Dame gear because they were rooting against the Tide. And it didn't take long for them to be shutted the fuck up. Thank you.
No, we killed them, but also, too, I mean, look at who we had. I mean, that was just a superior.
Oh, 2013, I'm talking like Trent Richardson's son.
Oh, yeah.
That's been Sports Talk with Fire Camino. I love y'all so much. Thank you.
Are we done?
You want to do more sport talk?
Oh, sport talk. I thought you said that was sports talk. I was like, damn, we're done.
No, this Elysian space dust is really getting in on me. I want to talk about the songwriting. What do you want to do?
Yeah, no, we haven't talked about songwriting. We got Alabama football and family and bullshit. No, look, let's get down to brass tacks.
That's the song.
It could be.
Okay, let's play a little bit. Let's be playful, but I don't see any problem with football and family. And I'm going to say, if you're going to do something like that, it ain't going to be GDC. You're going to have to throw a minor in there. And I'm not talking about the child kind of. Anyway, but let's talk songwriting.
What you want to talk about?
Well, how do we want to do this? Or did you like the way that I laid it out?
I like the way that, like, yeah, where it's kind of like, all right, this week we're gonna write about this, or we're gonna sing about this.
Yes.
And like, if you're a listener, like, yeah, the best. Like, that's what's going to go on the show. That's the fucking end song. Like, yeah.
Oh, and on Spotify, check this out. For those who listen on Spotify, you can comment on each episode. I mean, Josh used to be. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do. Because I think it turned out you knew the guy that was doing it. People will talk crap about an individual on an individual episode. They'll rate and review it, and then they send it to me and be like, "I can't believe you put this guy on."
I used to talk shit on myself because I didn't know my name came up, so I was going to be funny and talk shit on, like, this guy sucked, fuck Fire Camino, why are we having Fire Camino on? And I didn't know the entire time that. Like, Alan, like, the shit he sees is like, Fire Camino posted. Fuck Fire Camino.
I thought it was very endearing. I loved it. I was like, maybe there's another Fire Camino out there, and he's upset.
But I didn't know. Well, I thought I was being a smartass and being like, oh, fuck this guy. This guy's a piece of shit. And meanwhile, like, Alan the whole time was like, Fire Camino posted that Fire Camino's an asshole.
Yeah. And hence, like, if you ever look at previous Porch Talk things on the Spotify, logged in as Alan Aldridge talking crap about the host of it. I mean, what's going on around here? He's really cutting him deep.
Right.
Oh, man. But
I knew what you did in 1996, bro.
Well, buddy, if it had anything to do with a towel and an armadillo, I bet you do. Don't call the Humane Society and don't double charge me for that. Thank you.
Right. It is what it is.
And it's done. I don't know the limitations on that, but I hope they passed. And all that was a complete lie, okay? Don't believe any of that. But yeah, let's... I would like a good challenge, a little sportsmanship, a little competitiveness. What are we going to do? You want to keep it light because this is the first one? Or, like, should we, just in case listeners out there want to get involved? I tell you this. Let's create the idea this time. And let's see how many people that bite.
Yeah.
And we won't, like, let's just say, because I think we both agreed that we don't want to do this show every week, that we want to do it every 2 weeks to a month. Is that right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you never know when I'm free or available because of work and shit, you know.
Yeah. Getting a text here. No. Yeah. So, let's say this. Listeners out there, we're going to go over the rules for the first song challenge, and I don't know yet, and Josh doesn't know yet, like, when the next time that we'll do a Porch Talk, if I had to guess, probably in 2 weeks, but I would really like this to be community involved, and I think this might be like the next great endeavor for us as a community. Is if there was enough of us out there that was interested in holding each other accountable and writing together and really pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I don't mind a critic. If it's shit, it's shit. Okay? And we all should know that.
What it is.
So, like, if you would like to be involved with that, I would love to know that. But let's talk concept and let's give them an idea. And we're off of the dome here. Is what are we gonna do?
I'm thinking. All right, I got one.
All right, go for it.
So, I want a song about NASCAR. I wrote that song, Dale Earnhardt. It's not really about Dale Earnhardt. It's about, you know, growing up in life and shit. But I want a song based on a NASCAR driver.
Okay.
I've already wrote Dale Earnhardt. So, like, Dale Earnhardt's off the table. Maybe you could write one about Dale Waltrip. How he used the shit. And, like, what it feels to be the man. Or maybe you could write one about, like, No Bonnet, of where I'm like, I'm an old man, but I'm still in this game. I'm still trying, I'm still doing my thing. Fucking, maybe you could write one about Mark Martin, of where it's like, I'm always in second place. You know? I'm never the guy. I'm never the guy, but I'm always almost there.
Yeah,
maybe write one one about Jeff Gordon where it's like, oh, shit, I'm this hot new talent. I'm cool. I'm fucking, I'm winning races. I'm whatever. Then you just fall off hard as fuck. You know, so there's a lot of shit you can do with some NASCAR drivers.
I like it, Josh. Okay. So, let me ask you this. Are there any rules? Are there rules? Do we have to state them by name?
Yes. It should be NASCAR driver by name. Dale Earnhardt's already taken because I took it. But everybody else is free.
Because I was thinking,
Richard Petty, whoever the fuck.
Because I was thinking about just because I'm a Jeff Gordon hater.
Yeah.
And by the way, the older I get, the less I hate him. But, like, I was going to take a John Prown route, and it was like, I am an old lady. And I was going to write a Jeff Gordon song, and that was going to be the opening line.
I am Jeff Gordon.
I am an old lady.
Oh, that would be fun.
I came up in my prime. I won some races and turned some heads, but everybody thought that, wow. Okay, we'll kill it right there. We'll get back to it.
Yeah, hey, you write that one. I wrote the Earnhardt, you got to write Jeff Gordon.
So, okay, what's the rules? You got any rules for specs for the song? Do you want specific chords? Are there only so many chords that can be used? What about that?
No, freeform. It's just, you know.
You just want a NASCAR song.
It has to be the name of a NASCAR driver, and it has to be about the fucking driver. If I can't tell it's not about the driver, then fuck it. But it has to be, like, you know. Like, you can write a song about Darryl Waltrip, where it's like, damn, if I only had this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good, but, like, I just don't have the equipment, you know? Like, there's so much shit you could do with that. Whatever.
Was not the flip the track for a second though, but because where I grew up, my next door neighbor, they were always into dirt track racing.
Yeah,
and I remember, like, you know, just stepping outside the house, you could look into the shop there. You could always see that they're working and they're, you know, doing whatever they can do to make their car the best, and I just always found racing so interesting because, what would you say about this, Josh? It's a rare thing, and I think a lot of people don't like the new NASCAR rules, and I understand that. I understand you, but the more I watch it, the more I kind of fall in love with it again. But I always thought of racing like this is when it became, like, competitive and it was on an actual track. And if we're being honest about it, it's probably actually 60% skill and 40% how much money you got behind you.
Oh, 100%.
And you might go 50-50. I don't know. What percentage would you break?
Well, I don't know. I set it to a level because there have been drivers that, like, have all the money in the world behind them, and then it's like they can't. I'll give you a great example. The guy that used to drive the 22 car before Logano did, Montoya. Montoya came out of the F1 series to race NASCAR and, like, had all the, I mean, Shell Oil. Like, he had all the fucking money in the world and could not fucking
get a W.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are certain drivers where it's like, you know, they just, like, can't, you know. NASCAR is its own thing. Like, stock car racing versus, like, F1 and all that shit. Like, it's very, very different, you know.
I agree. Like, the older I get, man, my best friend, he just got into F1 racing. And, when he brought that up to me, I was like, are you some kind of a fag? And I was like, we don't watch that. We watch NASCAR, okay? And then I sat down and watched some F1, and I was like, this is very different, and it's a very high skill. I slept on this. I found a new thing I can fall asleep to, really.
Well, there's a nuance to F1. It's the same with IndyCar or fucking, why they always race at fucking Barber's over in Leeds?
Don't get me wrong.
It's not IndyCar.
Well, they do motorcycles out there.
Yeah, they do, but they have actual, it looks like an F1 car, but it's not. What the fuck do they call that? Maybe Formula 2? I forget. There's a name, though.
Yeah, I don't want to get lost in the weeds on that. Really, I don't.
Yeah.
But,
like, there's a nuance to that, too, because, I mean, like you got to look at, like, F1. Like, those things are like jet fighters. Like, they can go fast as fuck, but they weigh nothing, you know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's like, all their stuff is, like, clean passing and fucking, you know, and there's an art to that. You know, you look at, like Senna, you know, that dude from Brazil, or who's the fucking guy? He always raced Ferrari. They made that movie Rush about him.
Yeah, dude, I'm not the one.
I don't know. But anyway, there's an art to those kind of cars. You know, because they're basically jet fighters. They're fucking, you know, like they're... precision and the aerodynamics and shit. My buddy Jesse, he loves that shit. And like my sister, she loves that shit. She all the time goes on about like Max Verstappen and fucking all of them. And like there is a nuance to being able to like race clean. But like NASCAR is not racing clean. You gotta bump and you gotta be dirty and fucking, you know, like
you ever try to make it clean? I'm going to sign out. I ain't going to watch because I ain't.
Like, I can't pass you. Fuck it. I'll wreck you. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah.
You going to hold me up? No. You ever heard of the pit maneuver? Thank you.
You know, it's probably one of the best examples of NASCAR ever. And I hate it because I remember watching it live on TV. It was the 2007 Charlottesville race. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was in the lead. And Kyle Busch came up and dumped him. He just dumped him outright. He couldn't get past him. He couldn't figure it out. Whatever, they went into the turn. He fucking, boom, dumped him. And, like, there were fans throwing so many beer cans on the race that they delayed the fucking race. Like, it was hellacious. Like, if you were wearing a fucking Kyle Busch t-shirt, you threw that shit off just so you could walk through the fucking parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, it was that bad. I remember my uncle cussing at the TV. I remember being fucking sad. It was the most egregious. Like, he fucking turned him. It was, you know. But, like, that's racing, though. That, like, that's, you know, like, I'm going to win this race. Fuck it. You know.
I've always felt that way. You know, even with Talladega Nights, it being competitive,
yeah.
It being a comedy, better, is that character of Will Ferrell, like when it comes to racing, and even like with Bo Rat, you know, that character, right? I thought like, although it was a very comical film, a very good film, timely, very good. It still stands the test of time. But, like, what made it so good, really, for most people is it felt real.
Yeah.
Like, it is very funny that people take this kind of shit that serious, but they do.
Well, I mean, some people, us, are all alive, you know?
That's right. So we're writing a song about a NASCAR driver, and we can do it in any kind of way that we want to do, huh?
Yeah, any kind of way, just it has to be a song about a NASCAR driver.
Well, I can't wait to hop on this microphone and put out some hot garbage for everybody.
I've already wrote one, so I'm excluded from this one.
Oh, I gotta do it. I'm flying solo, huh?
Yeah, no, I've already done it. I've already wrote Dale Earnhardt. That's what I already said. You can't write a song called Dale Earnhardt. I've already done it.
All right, fair enough. All right. Well, that's very good. Josh, anything else to do? Because my buddy at the airport is freaking out. Are you going to get me or not?
All right. I'm not. I got a couple things to promote, and then I'll fuck off. How's that sound?
We're not asking for you to do that, but yes, please do.
So, good news for Fire Camino fans. The album is done.
Say what?
It's not recorded, but it's done. So I gotta wait for Taylor to get off tour. He's going on a tour in February. And please, if you live in Florida, go see Taylor Hollinsworth. He's touring all over Florida. And hey, March the 1st or 2nd, I forget which it is, we have the Chicken Walk in Birmingham, which is like a parade. It's like a Mardi Gras, or I don't know. There's some fucking thing that they do. But Taylor's going to be playing, and I'm going to be driving him around. So if you want to see me drive Taylor around while he plays his music, come out to the Chicken Walk in Birmingham.
How about that?
February 10th is the anniversary. It's the 8th anniversary of the open mic at the Nick. I will be playing, my band will be playing with Fire, Justin and Alex and all them. Please come out to that. I'm giving away 3 Stratocasters that night. 3 Stratocasters in one night. So please come out to the anniversary of Birmingham Bandstand. Josh and Danielle put on such a beautiful thing, and I cannot thank them enough for that. Also, February 15th, I will be playing at True Story Brewing, which is over in Crestwood, Birmingham, and it will be playing with Fire. I may do a solo set, I may not. Day after Valentine's Day, if your Valentine's Day broke your heart, hey, I'll come eat your pussy. Just fucking come out, man. It's going to be a good show. And then, as always, 4th annual St. Paddy's Day celebration. It's going to be at the Nick this year. It's going to be great. I got surprises out the ass. A bunch of free guitars I'm giving away. Free t-shirts. I'm still trying to find a place that does t-shirts. So, hey, if you're a listener, you own a t-shirt company, if you're in the Eastern Mississippi, Alabama area, I'm looking for someone that prints t-shirts. So, please hit me up. Hit me up with my email or fucking Fire Camino on Instagram. But besides that, I love you all. Good night and God bless. Y'all are fucking amazing.
I'll tell you about my t-shirt plug right now. Goodbye, everybody.
My boat.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.